Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.
Ireland is undoubtedly a country of cinema lovers, and two separate reports earlier this year revealed just how much we love the big screen. In June, figures released by the UNIC, that's the International Union of Cinemas, showed that Ireland has the joint highest cinema attendance per capita in Europe, whilst in September, the third annual Arts and Irish Life survey showed that going to see a film was by far our most popular culture pursuit. So good news there. But with a thriving market comes stern competition. So how are Ireland's independent cinemas coping with the shadows of the big boys? Yes, we're talking independent cinemas this week's Industry Review, and with me in studio, I'm delighted to say, is the head of the Irish Film Programming at the Irish Film Institute, Sunniva O'Flynn, director of Lighthouse Cinema, Andrew Lowe, founder of the Dingle International Film Festival, Maurice Galway, and theatre director at the Stella Theatre in Rathmines, Carol Geraghty. You're all so welcome to the programme. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I'm going to start with you, Sunniva. Maybe you might tell us about the IFI. It's been around since 1945. I think it used to represent the church at one stage, but it's been a lot of different places, but tell us a little bit about your organisation.
Yeah, well, we were established by John Charles McQuaid in 1945, and our original agenda was to help Catholic families deal with the corruptive influence of cinema. So it was kind of seeing cinema as this very dark and dangerous medium.
So was it a form of censorship in the early days?
Well, it was an advisory body.
Right.
And it went into production, and it produced GAA football finals and informational films and health films on behalf of the departments, the various government departments. So it was sort of a de facto film board before the film board were established.
Okay.
But yes, it was quite a conservative body until the 1980s, when it was taken over by a bunch of young guns, including David Kavanagh and Kevin Rockett and co. David Collins was on the board as well. And what it became then gradually was an organisation that looked at cinema as an art form that deserved celebration and promotion. And we began the process then in the late 80s and early 90s of looking for a venue, beginning to groom audiences who had been, I suppose, who had begun to love cinema in the old IFT and the Sugar Club.
Yeah.
In Earlswood Terrace, but we began to kind of re-groom that audience so that we could establish a thriving art house film.
And you ended up now on Eustace Street after a few different locations over the years.
That's right, yeah. I mean, we were involved in the setting up of the Lighthouse in Abbey Street, and you know, that was a pre-IFI venture, and you know, that was part of the process of creating audiences that we would then bring along to the IFI. And then when the IFI opened in 92, we understood that there was more than enough keen audiences in Dublin to justify a couple of cinemas. So we're there now in Eustace Street with three screens and doing very well.
OK, well, stay with us, because you mentioned the Lighthouse there. I want to bring in from the Lighthouse Cinema, Mr. Andrew Lowe. Andrew, you're very welcome to the programme.
Morning, Bobby.
Now, tell us your story, because again, it's an interesting one. I suppose a game of two halves for the Lighthouse Cinema. You've had tough times, but you're back and you're bold and you're doing lots of great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just a bit of background about us first. Myself and my business partner, Ed Guiney, set up Element Pictures in 2001 as a film production company. We produce feature films and television drama. We in 2007 got into distribution, so the business of marketing, distributing films around the country. And around that time, we were exploring the opportunity to develop an art house cinema. But we found we went quite a long way down the road. We identified sites and we hired architects, but we just found with the kind of property boom going on at the time, the numbers just didn't stack up. And then the Lighthouse Cinema was developed by other people. And I'll come to the Lighthouse history in a second. So when the Lighthouse was developed, we decided, okay, well, that's fine. There isn't room for two, so we gave up on that plan. The Lighthouse Cinema, as Sunniva has mentioned, its original incarnation was in Middle Abbey Street. I think it was a two-screen cinema originally in Middle Abbey Street. And I remember as a student in Trinity going down, and the wonderful thing about the Lighthouse at the time was it was the first cinema in Ireland where you could buy a cup of coffee. Mm. It was quite a novelty at the time. So I think a couple of years after the IFI opened, the Lighthouse closed its doors. But when Smithfield was being redeveloped, they were looking for a cultural venue.
So how many years, not to interrupt you, but how many years do we not have a lighthouse for?
I believe there was a period about 10, 11 years when there was no lighthouse.
Okay.
And Neil Connolly and Moretta Dillon, who had run the previous lighthouse, were invited to develop the new lighthouse in Smithfield. And that opens its doors in 2008. And sadly, it closed the stores again in 2011, and it just became it was just caught up in the whole meltdown from the Celtic Tiger mess, if you like. So we, at that stage, the lighthouse was a very important customer for ours as a distributor, and we were very concerned about the loss of it. And so we pitched in and said we would be interested in taking it on. There was other interest as well. We eventually secured the right to reopen it. We negotiated a new lease with the landlord, one at a more sensible level, and we reopened on the 20th of January 2012.
Great. Okay, we'll be back to you in a second. Yeah. Let's bring in our third guest, because he's Maurice Galway, and he doesn't live in Galway. He lives in Kerry, because he's from the Dingle International Film Festival. Maurice, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
Now, tell us about independent cinema down your way. We've got the wonderful Phoenix in Dingle and the great history around that.
Yeah,
tell us your story, if you
and,
would.
There's the classic cinema in the Stole. And I mean, if we begin with the classic, I began working with him when I set up the Kerry Film Festival, which goes back in another lifetime ago. And Kieran Gleeson was the man that ran that. He bought it in about 87. Now, he was a third generation projectionist. So his grandfather would have not owned a premises, he would have actually moved around the country with a projection, with a projector screening onto the walls of community
Amazing.
Centres.
Amazing.
Yeah, so Kieran was a wonderful guy to work with back then. He's passed away, sadly, but he loved film. And that cinema is there because, not as a business venture, really, it was because he loved cinema. And he opened those doors in 87 when a lot of doors were closing. Similarly, then in Dingle, and I work with the Phoenix Cinema a lot, Michael O'Sullivan bought that in 1979. And again,
brave thing to do, I'd say.
Yeah, he saved it again because he grew up watching film in there and he loved film. So like it was built in 1937 and the Houlihan brothers who built that actually burnt peat out the back to power the projectors.
And the story is that people used to go in there to get warm.
That's true. It was cheaper, right, apparently, to go to the cinema and be warm than it was to stay at home and light a fire, you know. So the cinema, like with the Phoenix, it is an incredible space and it has that history. And, you know, we've brought people there, you know, Maureen O'Hara, Jim Sheridan, Cillian Murphy, Saoirse Ronan, and all these stars, when they come into that space, they love it. It's not an omniplex. You know, it has a sense of film.
Wonderful.
And they feel it the minute they come in there and they all express that. I remember Gabriel Byrne talked so highly of Michael and what he'd done as an independent cinema owner at the time. And he was so impressed with the space and he could feel what he'd done. He autographed one of his scripts, original scripts, and sent it back to him to say thanks,
wow,
you know.
Wow.
So I've been working with the Phoenix Cinema now. We're going 12 years at the Dingle International Film Festival.
Okay.
6th year of animation Dingle.
Stay with us. Our fourth guest, and again, is Carl Geraghty, and he's from the Stella Theatre in Rathmines. Now, I haven't been to the new Stella. I remember the old Stella when I lived in a bed sit in Rathmines. I used to love it. We used to go to midnight movies and all sorts of wild stuff there. But I'm told it's absolutely fantastic what you've done out there.
Yeah, they've done an incredible job. It's been restored to the way that it was in 1923, so it's back to being a single screen cinema. A lot of the original features survive. The incredible original ceiling has been restored. And then we've rebuilt a lot of the features that were taken away over the years. The balcony's been rebuilt. You know, some of it has been reimagined. The lobby has been reimagined. And it's really a beautiful space.
So what I'm told is that the original projector booth that's hanging, that's still there. You can have you've the Stella Theatre. You've got a cocktail club, your bar. You can be served drink at the when you're watching the movie. They've got snug blankets, double seats. I remember the double seats in the Regent in Kilkenny. The double seats were a huge thing. So this is such like the nostalgia, the Art Deco, the beauty of that building, and then to be showing all these I think you've done it. I really can't wait to go and see it.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback has been incredible. We've only been open for 4 days. This is day number 5. So I was saying to the guests on the way in, everybody's got their notes. I'm here to take notes and learn a bit today more than anything else. But there's been an incredible reaction, particularly from the local community. There's been a lot of people coming in, and we've had people come in and telling stories about what's happened there, meeting wives and learning to dance in the ballroom that was upstairs. And it's been incredible. Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Okay, so now everybody's introduced themselves. Let's just talk a little bit about the marketplace, about independent cinema. And Seneva, can I go back to you and say, how do you sort of differentiate against or with the Omniplex? Where is the role of independent cinema and what is its real attraction for people?
Well, as I said earlier, we began a process of cultivating or grooming an audience back in the 1980s, 90s, and I think they've come through. I mean, if you look at school children now who may come in on education programs to us, you know, you see a group of people who are enormously cine literate. Mm-hmm. You know, they know their stuff, you know, they have access to information through the internet and so on. People are hungry for curated cinema, and they're happy to go to the Omniplex, but they're also happy to see titles that might not have mainstream distribution. So people will trust in our programmers, they will be happy to go along and see films about, they might know very much about them or about their directors, but you know, they understand that the selective process that our programmers have taken will pay off. So I think independent cinema is it's about showing work that may not be purely box office driven, you know, that mightn't be commercially driven, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's niche or, you know, inaccessible.
And I was going to ask Andrew about that. About, you don't consider yourself niche in the Lighthouse, Andrew, isn't that right? That it has to be commercial. Yeah. It has to be successful commercially for in order for it to survive.
It does. I mean, we sort of sit in a funny space in that while some public money went into the creation of the cinema, we need to operate on a commercial basis, so we don't get any public funding. Yet we are at the same time an art house cinema, so we sit somewhere in between, you know, niche, I guess, and commercial, and fundamentally for us the guiding principle is we listen to our audience, and our audience have very broad tastes. So you know, we will play, for example, you know, last weekend we had the Irish premiere of Thor, the Marvel movie. And the director of Thor, Waiki Tahiti, is a very well-known New Zealand filmmaker, very kind of indie filmmaker. So we put a season, a retrospective on of his previous films, and he directed a beautiful film called Hunt for the Wilder People, which was on the same night as the premiere. And we had an audience in watching that film who were stunned to have the director walk in at the end of the film. Yeah. And he spoke for half an hour about making that film.
So you're in that place of nostalgia. Yeah. And where people look back and you know, and you build sort of themes around.
Absolutely.
Different things. You also do things like ballet, opera.
Is that
to pay the bills? Is that part of the commercial thing, or is that part of the art form?
Well, it's both, I think. You know, I mean, for anyone who hasn't been there, we're very fortunate. The Lighthouse is a very beautiful venue. It's 4-screen art house cinema, architecturally very distinctive. It's a beautiful environment to experience that sort of content. So event cinema is a big part of our program and growing all the time. And again, it's in response to audience demand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Morris, can I bring you back in? Mm. And just about the way film is shown. If you take a cinema like the Phoenix in Dingle, you know, the way a distributor might say you've got to show this film for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is. Does that work in smaller towns like Dingle, whereby everybody might have seen it the first night?
That might be a bit of an overstatement. It would be a big problem for them at the moment, like particularly the Phoenix and the Classic. I mean, if Disney or a bigger distributor come to them and say, you know, here's our new film, but you have to show it for 2 weeks, you'll have to screen it twice a day. Like for them in a small community, like that is a problem, because generally, you know, the audience that wants to go see that will have done it within the first week. So they might have a very difficult week in their second week, opening the doors every evening on a wet Tuesday night.
And how do you deal with that?
Well, the problem is, like, it's just with the distributors, you could talk to Andrew around that. It's bottom line kind of figures and rules, like just coming down the line. And while it might work in a city context, when you get to a rural context, that just doesn't fit. And it is a big problem for them. Even like, you know, in Dingle, there's a Tuesday night club. It's been going traditionally for nearly 30 years, where an independent or a foreign language film would be shown. You get your cup of tea and all that. And that would have been a once-off, one screening. But even that's becoming difficult now to get that print for one night.
Yeah.
Distributor will say, look, you've got to play it for three nights. And again, it takes the uniqueness away from that night that's been
there. It's really important, is it not, that places like the Phoenix survive and thrive? You know, when look, when we're talking about the history of the Stella and the Lighthouse and everything, like, it really is important.
Yeah, we love film and we think film is really important. It's a really important part of our cultural identity. Like in a town like Dingle having the Phoenix, it's hugely important for that town. I mean, there are 30 miles to an Omniplex in Tralee. That's a big drive, like 60 miles to go see a film. So I think it's really important. And it's people like the O'Sullivan family there, the Gleeson family in Listowel. It's because of them persisting and keeping the door open. Really, the town should be very grateful for that, because they're not turning over big bucks with this kind of business.
Yeah.
But it's a really important business, yeah.
Carl Geraghty, could I bring you back in from the Stella? Who are you expecting is going to be your customer in the Stella? Like, there's a lot of three purists here, I'd suggest.
I'm going this afternoon.
Around the cinema. But, it strikes me, and maybe I'm incorrect on this, but it strikes me that you're looking at it maybe slightly broader, that there'll be a large element of food and drink, of alcohol, of entertainment around cinema.
Absolutely. It's I think for us, it's more of an occasion.
Okay.
It's like going to the golden age of cinema. Like, you know, over the first 4 days, people have come in really, you know, dressed up. It's a whole night out. It's not just going to see a film. So I think, you know, what we're doing is quite different from what everyone else is doing. We, you know, we'd face some of the challenges as well, being a single screen cinema, in terms of content and having to show something for 2 weeks to get a bigger film. At the moment, we're still finding our audience. I mean, I'm still sitting by the phone for most of the day, answering the phone and talking to people. People are ringing up saying, I thought this was great, I didn't like that, I want you to do this.
Okay.
So we're still absolutely finding our feet.
Sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, you know, the feedback has been phenomenal, and hopefully when you get up, you'll agree.
Suniva, can I ask you about the other, I suppose, parts that make up the jigsaw around ancillaries, popcorn, coffee, alcohol? How important are other, I suppose, related factors outside of the cinema in terms of making the whole thing commercially viable?
Yeah, the big P question. Yeah, I mean, we don't serve popcorn in the IFI, and that has been a bone of contention with some audience members, but others...
It
really
sounds like a bit of
that,
one of those Hobson's choice that you're always going to have dissension on it, whether you do or you don't.
I mean, it was a difficult decision to make because, you know, obviously popcorn, you know, you can bring in quite a bit of income with
that.
Did
you stop selling it, or did you never sell it?
We never sold it, I think, not in my memory, but it is a distraction, and we are... You called us purists. We're not quite that, not in terms of our programming.
I didn't mean that
choices.
In a negative way, by the way.
Yeah. but we do try and create the least distracting context in which to watch the cinema. So popcorn's there. But, you know, obviously we would, you know, sell coffee, and there's a restaurant and a bar there, which is very pleasant. And, you know, I'm interested to hear Carl chat about all of the great add-ons that are there in the Stella. And, you know, it's terrific to see people being kind of game for new stuff, and you know, to see curiosity and people coming and engaging with new ways of exploring cinema. And we, I mean, I suppose what we might do, which would be similar to the cocktails in the Stella, would be, you know, maybe Q&As with directors after, or you know, introductions by actors, that kind of thing. So, you know, people do like to really embed themselves in the experience of cinema, and you know, to find ways to enjoy it more fully. And, you know, whether that is a cocktail or whether it is, you know, a learned introduction from an academic, you know, it's great to see those audiences out there who's, you know, willing to take chances.
Okay, well, it's an amazing discussion. Last question to you, maybe, Andrew. The future of independent cinema, as somebody who's been around the space a long time, what do you see happening? What do you see changing? Hopefully everybody will survive and thrive.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think on, you know, as producers, we know how tough an environment it is to make independent films. And but notwithstanding that, for the right sort of film, there's lots of opportunity. And I think as a cinema, you know, our sort of view on that is we just need to stick to our knitting and do what we do well. And we've put our heads down, and we've pretty much grown our audience year on year since we've opened. And so we're very optimistic. I mean, ironically, I think there's a brighter future for independent cinema than arguably there might be for the multiplex.
Why do you say that?
Well, I think some of the challenges that are affecting all cinema are more acutely felt at the multiplex end. For example, piracy and digital disruption generally. I think it affects particularly the sort of audience that is drawn to the multiplex. But I mean, we're very confident about it, so much so we're in the process of finalising a second cinema, which we're opening in Galway early in the new year, the Picture Palace, which is a 3-screen art house cinema, bringing art house to the regions.
Well, you got that plug in, and well done to you. I'd like to thank my guests, Suniva O'Flynn, Head of Irish Film Programming at the Irish Film Institute, Andrew Lowe, Director of the Lighthouse Cinema, Maurice Galway, Founder of the Dingle International Film Festival, and Carol Geraghty, Theatre Director at the Stella Theatre out there in Rathmines. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Down to Business on Newstalk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.